I was going to mention that actually formally, that that's why he scheduled me, is to help me stay awake. I had a long layover in Vegas yesterday, and someone asked me if I lost. And I told them jokingly, yes, I did, because I bought 2 bottles of water, a cup of coffee, and 1 sandwich, and it was out $30. So I did lose. but thankfully, that's all I lost. I had a 10-hour layover, so I had some great time to study, but then I hopped on the plane at 10:30 last night, arrived here at 5 a.m., little after 5:30-ish. A couple of students from the college picked me up, brought me back to the college where my guest room is, had time to freshen up and come right over. Let's take our Bibles, please, and turn to Acts chapter 13. Acts chapter 13. This message is going to dovetail actually quite a bit off of what we just heard. Some of the same principles are going to overlap. And I think it's just neat how the Lord laid this out. And we're going to be taking a look at Acts chapter 13, verses 1 through 5. The Bible says this: Now there were in the church that was at Antioch certain prophets and teachers, as Barnabas and Simeon, that was called Niger, and Lucius of Cyrene, Manaen, which had been brought up with Herod the Tetrarch, and Saul. As they ministered to the Lord and fasted, the Holy Ghost said, Separate me, Barnabas and Saul, for the work whereunto I have called them. And when they had fasted and prayed, and laid their hands on them, they sent them away. So they, being sent forth by the Holy Ghost, departed unto Seleucia, and from thence sailed to Cyprus. And when they were at Salamis, they preached the word of God in the synagogue of the Jews, and they had also John to their minister. You know, if a person wants to conduct a formal, official, scholarly research study, eventually, as they get going with a project such as that, they will have to contact participants. Always there's an ethical waiver that participants have to sign as they give information, and then information is collected. When the surveys, if they're done well and monitored by a good group, and there's some criteria that they meet in doing the research, it can help draw conclusions that will impact professionals. For instance, in the school setting that I am working with, I had to read quite a few scholarly journals, and one measured the impact of family relationships and peer relationships on students' academic success in school, and actually would have long-term effects on how they did and functioned as adults. But they did quite a bit of research at the peer level, at the family level. There was a different study that's similar, and I'll be conducting one soon, Lord willing, later this year, that measures the impacts of a teacher-to-student relationship on how that can impact the academic success of a child and even beyond school. And for this message, I am by no means going to be conducting a survey. That's not what I'm doing. However, I want to represent you with a series of questions to ponder. And these questions will hopefully draw out some spiritual conclusions about responding to God's call to service. And so the title of this message, it's longer, is this: Self-Reflective Questions Concerning God's Call to Service. Self-Reflective Questions Concerning God's Call to Service. And it's this main point I'd like to get across this morning. You must be busy, ready, and equipped to serve the Lord. You must be busy, ready, and equipped to serve the Lord. Let's open in a word of prayer. Let's pray. Father, I pray that you would fill me with your Spirit. And Lord, help me to proclaim your word passionately, accurately. And Lord, I pray that you would help us to draw applications and principles from this that we can immediately apply to our lives, that we might be about your service and what you've called us to do in the communities that you've called us to serve. Lord, we thank you for what you can do. Please fill me with your Spirit. And Father, please use me. In Christ's name. Amen. Acts was written by Luke. Luke was not an eyewitness of Christ, but he traveled with eyewitnesses, and he traveled and spent time with Barnabas, with Paul, with Peter, it implies from Scripture, with others. And in Acts chapter 13, he is giving the account of the first missionary journey and the beginning of Paul and Barnabas going out for the first time. And the Scriptures recall some calls to service, as we just saw in 1 Kings 19. This is a call to service as well that we're going to investigate and look at as well. There's not a lot per se, but there's some calls of service that God, under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, gives us. And so when he gives us these calls to service, it would do us due diligence, do us good to look at how God did it and how God used those people as he's called people to service. So, as I mentioned, I'll be asking a series of questions. I'm going to ask these three questions this morning. Number one, are you busy? Number two, are you willing? Number three, are you equipped? With that introduction, let's look again at Acts 13, verse 1. There were in the church that was at Antioch certain prophets and teachers. And then it gives you this list of different people. One of the things I notice about this list is that it's actually a very diverse listing of different people with different backgrounds. For instance, you see Simeon that was called Niger. Does anyone here know what Niger means? Black. Many Bible scholars believe that that was a reference to his ethnic background. This type of a gentleman that was a prophet and teacher in this early church. By the way, this is a side note. I did some study. Were there first century racial issues like there are today? And so I did a little bit of study in the Roman background and what they were facing. The answer is kind of a yes, no, there was, but not like ours are. Their racial issues were not centered around skin color so much, language, and ethnic background. It was more centered around the caste system and mannerisms from different cultures they would really highlight and make fun of. But the caste system was really their basis for racial discrimination, but not so much the other issues that we kind of fight today. I just found that interesting. That's free. But there was a diverse group of godly prophets and teachers. And so it brings up a couple of these principles before we get into our first question. Strong churches have capable men who will teach others also. A great cross-reference to this is 2 Timothy 2:2. And the things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men who shall be able to teach others also. And you see this pattern already in the book of Acts. You had faithful men who were teaching others also. Not only that, the Bible says in Hebrews chapter 5 that the sign of a healthy Christian, and thus you could apply it to a healthy church, is that they're teaching others. Hebrews 5 verse 12, the Bible says this, For the time ye ought to be teachers, ye have need that one teach you again. The author of Hebrews was saying, you should have been teaching, you're weak because you're not teaching. Well, that's not the case with this Antioch church. They were engaged in teaching. They were engaged in ministry, and they had a diverse group of leaders that were very capable of doing this. And it's in this context that God calls. And I found that interesting. So number one, are you busy? To answer this question, are you busy? When I traveled Neighborhood Bible Time, there was a teen song. I wasn't a teen guy, I was a booster guy, but there was a teen song that they would teach the teenagers at rallies, and it went, "Hi, my name is Joe." Has anyone heard that Joe Silly song before? I'm not going to teach it to you, so don't worry. It's very similar to Father Abraham, and that's one of the reasons I did not like it. I'm not a fan of that one. But anyway, there's this man named Joe. In the song, he has a wife and three kids, and one day his boss came up to him, and he said, "Joe," and there's interaction in the song. The boss asks if he's busy. He says, "No." So the boss tells him, "Push this button with your right hand." And so there's the motion starts. And throughout the song, Joe will start pushing the button with his left hand, so both hands are going. Then his right foot, and then his left foot, so both feet are going. And then with his head, and then with his tongue. Because every time his boss asks him, is he busy? And he keeps on saying no, so he gets more put onto him. And finally, at the end of the song, he asks, "Are you busy?" And Joe says, "Yes." And that's when the song's over. Why do I say that? There's this aspect, if a person's busy, available, working, well, that's a person that a person's attracted to help to go do other things too. It was said in Bible college at times, and this was said jokingly, but it's often true. If you want something done quickly, give it to somebody that's too busy to do it. Because they're already proven to be effective and busy. I believe it was either Steve Jobs or Tim Cook that stated that, and by the way, they're not moral men to look up to, but they said this, the most valuable employees that they had were employees who were simply available to task, ready and busy. Are you busy? Take a look at verse 2. It says, as they minister to the Lord. So they were busy in ministry. The answer for these men, this local church, was yes, they were busy. So if we're going to be properly busy, ready for service, number one under are you busy, you must be supportive and involved in local church ministry. the call that we're going to take a look at in verse 2 came at a time when they were serving in local church ministry. It says, as they ministered to the Lord. Sometimes God calls during a time when a church is busy with local ministry. Secondly, under this, are you busy? This call came at a time when they were walking with God. So number one, be supportive of local church ministry. Number two, be walking with God. Take a look in Acts chapter 2 as they ministered to the Lord, and it says, and what's the next word? Fasted. They were seeking the Lord. They were in a time of devotedly following the Lord. You know, God mentions so much about seeking Him. The Bible says in Psalm 9, verse 10, and they that know thy name will put their trust in thee, for thou, Lord, hast not forsaken them that seek thee. The Bible also says in Psalm 14, 2, the Lord looked down from heaven upon the children of men to see if there were any that did understand and seek God. Psalm 27, 8, when thou saidest, seek ye my face, my heart said unto thee, thy face, Lord, will I seek. They were in a position where not only they were busy for the Lord, involved in local church ministry, but also in a position where they were actively seeking the Lord, trying to and striving to walk with Him. The Bible says so much about this. So are you busy? You need to be supportive of the local church ministry, involved in that. Number two, you need to be walking with God. And number three, you need to be sensitive to the leading of your spiritual leadership. Take a look at verse 2 again. It says, as they ministered and fasted, the Holy Ghost said, separate Barnabas and Saul for the work whereunto I have called them. Verse 3 says, and when they had fasted, who was the Holy Ghost speaking to, by the way, in verse 2? The local church. He told the local church to separate Barnabas and Saul. And so it brings up, these people were busy in the ministry, local ministry. They were walking with God. And Barnabas and Saul and the others were sensitive to the spiritual leadership of that local church. Brother Baker also mentioned in there that sometimes a spiritual leader will see things in action maybe before you do. Or maybe it's simultaneous. But sometimes the pastor is in a position, or spiritual leadership is in a position, to see your gifts in action and say, ah, the Lord can really use that and really help to give some direction. When I was surrendering to ministry, after I graduated high school, but before coming to Ambassador, there was a time when I went up to Pastor Jankwith, my pastor, said, I think the Lord's directing me to ministry. In a sense, what's next? And that's when he spent some time with me and talked about preparation. We're going to go over that later in this message, equipping. But he, in that essence, guided me, pointed me, suggested Ambassador Baptist College, and I'm glad that he did. But that was spiritual leadership helping with that call, helping give guidance. And spiritual leadership is in a position to do that. God's call, by the way, is specific, it's formal. And here it says in verse 2, separate me. That's formal. That's a set apart. And it says, not only separate me, Barnabas and Saul, it says, for the work, and then later, that I have called them. All these terms are very specific that there was ministry in mind that God wanted them to do. Ministry in mind. But it came to a people that, number one, were busy. Busy with the work of God. So they were supportive of local church ministries, walking with God, and sensitive to spiritual leadership. And it was in that context that God said, separate out. That word for work is a formal word for formal time in ministry. It's the same word that's used when Paul tells Timothy to do the work of the evangelist, the ministry of the evangelist. It's used in other places in Acts when he's formally referring to the ministry at whole as a large. It's a very formal word. And the Holy Spirit says, hey, separate that out for me. This is a formal work. So number one, are you busy? Number two, a question for self-reflection, are you willing? Perhaps, yes, I'm supportive of the local church ministry. I'm busy to the best of my ability before the Lord. I'm striving to walk with Him, striving to be sensitive. All that can be in place, but if you're not willing to go and serve the Lord, well, then that's where it stops. Are you willing? Barnabas and Paul were willing. Take a look at verses 3 and 4. When they fasted and prayed, they laid their hands on them, and sent them away, and so they being sent forth by the Holy Ghost, and the passage goes on. You know, I compete, and I'll mention this well, I'll mention this at Ambassador Baptist College a little bit more tomorrow. I compete as a hobby in the local level in the state of Oregon in strength athletics. It's a sport called strongman that I have competed in. The actual competitions that I have been in are physically tough and mentally tough. There is always a warm-up area, but it's shared by 60 athletes, and it's not ideal to warm up for heavy lifting like you would like it to be. But at the same time, there comes a point that when it's your turn to compete in a certain event, you simply have to go. You've been called. You're next. You have to step up and be ready to perform to the best of your ability to compete. Sometimes there's some warning. You can kind of predict when you're going to come up, but oftentimes there's not. And you have to be ready. And so that's part of being willing. Are you willing? Letter A under this is be ready. See, when this call came, Barnabas and Saul were ready. They were in a position to respond to this call. After receiving God's call, some healthy churches have a time of formally sending out the missionaries. And you see that in verse 3. Notice they were already fasting in verse 2. After the call, they further sought God's will. They fasted again, prayed, laid their hands on them, and formally sent out Paul and Barnabas. So this principle here, be submissive to God's call. Are you busy? Are you willing? If you're willing, you got to be ready. You've got to be ready. And then in verse 3, I want to point out this as well. Notice that it says in verse 3 and 4, verse 3, it says they sent out. Who's the they referring to? I think I already asked this. The church. But take a look at verse 4. So they being sent forth by whom? Holy Ghost. Notice that it says in one verse that the Holy Ghost or the local church sent out. Verse 4, the Holy Ghost sent out, which is accurate? Of course, the correct answer is they're both. The Holy Spirit used the local church to send out these missionaries. And so it brings out this point here, be representative of your local church, also of the Holy Ghost. You represent both. You represent the King of Kings, God in heaven, but you also are operating out of local church ministry. You represent your local church. The local church sends out missionaries in obedience to the call of God and be sensitive to the Holy Spirit. Did you know it's possible for you as a local church to be sensitive to the Holy Spirit's call to send out an individual missionary? The Holy Spirit can use a local church to be sensitive to that call. So it's not just on the missionary, although that's part of it. The local church is involved. The spiritual leadership's involved. The Lord sends out through this, and He uses this. And then, as already mentioned, you represent the Holy Spirit. The Bible says in 2 Corinthians 5:20, "Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ. As though God did beseech you by us, we pray you in Christ's stead, be reconciled to God." And then in Colossians 1:28, it says, "Whom we preach, warning every man and teaching every man in all wisdom, that we may present every man perfect in Christ Jesus." We represent the Lord Jesus Christ. We represent God. We're His ambassadors. But it's working through the vehicle of the local church. And so that's number two. So number one, are you busy? Number two, are you willing? And being willing, you've got to be ready for when the call comes. You've got to be representative of the Lord Jesus Christ, also your local church. And then lastly, you know, I do this at my church too. I'm not known to be long-winded. So we'll probably end a few minutes early. So number three, are you equipped? Are you equipped? And this is going to be a combination of looking at verses 1 and 5 here for a few minutes. But by way of example, I have met some very resourceful men. In fact, even when I was at this ministry, there's some that came to mind that's, yeah, that's this type of person. When at the local church that I'm serving at now, there's a few people, but boy, fit this bill. You give them a project, something to do with their hands, and boom, they're all over. They can do it. They're very resourceful. They can put things together. They do an excellent job. I've even met some that, with almost no resources, are really talented at putting things together quite well. I myself, if I compare myself to that, I'm not a very good woodworker or work with my hands very well, per se. And so I have some good tools. I have access to them. I know some contractors that said, hey, whatever you need, anything you need, don't buy it. You can borrow it from me. That doesn't do me a whole lot of good. I'm not that well coordinated to do some of the things that they can do. However, many times I've seen some contractors comment on how essential it is to have the right tools for the job, how it can make it so much more efficient, so much more effective. And I at one time worked for one painter, and he said, as a painter, we spent about 90% of our time prepping to paint. And then the painting went by very, very quickly. But if you prepped well, the other work would go well. And then taking that down was pretty simple to undo that, like taping things off so you didn't bleed the paint over. And so all that preparation is important. Having the right tools is important. Did you know that these men had the right tools for the call that they received? So not only they were busy about the ministry, they were willing, ready to go, they were going to be representative, but they were equipped. And so it brings us to that question, are you equipped? Take a look in verse 1. Both of the men that were sent out were listed in that group of teachers in verse 1. You had Barnabas in there, and at the end of that list you had Saul. And by the way, out of that list you may think, wow, you take away these men out of this local church, won't that hurt the local church? No, it was a healthy local church. Yes, their absence would be noted. You take out some key people even here, the absence would be noted. But you would also know that it was for what the Holy Ghost wanted them to do. And boy, you can get behind that and say, wow, what a pleasure to join in with the ministry that the Lord has called them to and faithfully send them out. You can get behind that. And so these men were in a position, they were teaching, they were equipped. And not only were they teaching, but take a look at verse 5. After they went out, it says in verse 5, they preached the word of God. That shows that they were equipped to do it. And by the way, time would fail us. I guess it wouldn't because I'm early. But to take a look at Paul's background, when he got saved on the road when he got saved and the Lord called him to ministry, we would find if you looked into his background, he was immediately witnessing right away with the gospel. There was a time when Barnabas came alongside of him in Jerusalem and said, hey, I'll spend some time with you, I'll work with you. There was a time when he went home to Tarsus, by the way, and he was kind of off the scene for a while. Then you get to Acts chapter 11. Barnabas is thinking, hey, I need to go check on Paul. Barnabas finds Paul, brings him back to Antioch. In fact, Barnabas actually used Paul to take some funds to Jerusalem when they were hurting financially. And it was at Jerusalem that Paul, still being trained, would probably have heard about James being martyred. And when Peter was taken. And when Peter was released supernaturally, he went to Barnabas' family's home there where Paul evidently was at, according to some scripture of Barnabas and Paul being there. And then they went back up to Antioch. And now they're in this position to go out on the first missionary journey. Boy, Paul had quite a bit of training before he went out for the first time. And by the way, as far as an age for how old Paul was when he went out on this first missionary journey, well, at least I know this about a second missionary journey. By the time you're at his second missionary journey, he's about 33 years old. And so you back up a couple of years, he's about 30, 31 for the first missionary journey. Anyway, just trying to fill in some gaps, there was some training for Paul. He went through it. He had to learn. He had some secular training, religious secular training, if I could put it that way, with the background that the Lord had allowed him to have. But he also had training after he accepted Christ as his Savior. And that was important. So, are you equipped? You need to, number one, be qualified. Be qualified. Be ready. Be a witness is another aspect of this. Be a witness. Be qualified. Be a witness. Paul was a witness. Paul was qualified. The missionaries were faithful to begin the task that they had. They knew that they were representing God. And when they were representing God, according to verse 5, as they got to the mission field, they were obedient to start preaching the word. Verse 5, they preached the word of God in the synagogue of the Jews. They went to places where they knew that people who believed in God were at and presented the gospel to them. Christ is the Messiah. But they preached. They were not only busy at their local ministry, but they were ready to go to a foreign ministry and present the gospel. If you're not faithful to preach the gospel now, just because you enter to a new field doesn't mean that you're necessarily going to be faithful to preach the gospel then. He that is faithful in that which is least is faithful also in much. Notice that Paul and Barnabas were faithful at Antioch before they were used abroad. Be faithful to preach the gospel where you're at. Again, I don't know the individual call of God upon your life. God does, and perhaps the Lord is working. You can start reflectively thinking, am I plugged in? Am I busy about the ministry? Am I willing, ready to go be a representative? Am I equipped? Or upon recognizing the call of God, hey, God wants to use me, am I laying out some groundwork ahead of me to become equipped, if that's what's necessary? Am I being qualified? Am I becoming equipped? And then you can ask yourself, am I faithful to be a witness? That's part of being equipped, proclaiming the word of God. The Bible says this in 1 Corinthians 1:18, for the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness, but unto us which are saved it is the power of God. God uses the proclamation of Calvary, of the cross, the preaching of the cross. He uses it. Christians are not in full obedience just because they are willing to go. They also must be a witness. The work is formal and involves the proclamation of the word of God. It reminds me of 2 Timothy 4:2. Preach the word, be instant in season, out of season, reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. So again, let me re-ask the questions one more time, and then I'm going to close it at this point, a time of reflection. Are you busy, plugged in? Are you willing, ready, and able? Are you equipped, or upon recognizing the call of God, going to take the steps to become equipped? As you answer those questions, you can see how God can use you now, tomorrow, in the future. How does God want to use you? You must be ready, busy, and equipped to serve the Lord. Let's pray. Father, I know that this message was simple. Yes, Lord, it was brief. But Lord, I pray that you would just use it as you see fit. Holy Spirit, would you work? Perhaps there are some here that aren't busy about the ministry when they could be and ought to be. Lord, I pray that you would direct them. And those that are faithful, Lord, just thank you for that and help us each to be faithful. Lord, perhaps some just need to be setting their hearts before you, saying, I'm willing, I'm ready. And then some, maybe, Lord, to be equipped. Would you work as you see fit? And Lord, we thank you for your word. In Christ's name, amen.